Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, how you can spot some fireflies before summer comes to an end.
People come from all over the world to Georgia to see fireflies, and we take them for granted.
Plus, Athens Parent Well-Being says goodbye to its Reblossom store.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep. When you roll out of bed, bleary-eyed and groggy, if you're like me, the first thing on your mind is getting something to wake you up. So turn on the radio. NPR's daily news program, Morning Edition, has been working through the night to get you the news you need. It's as essential to your morning as a good cup of coffee. So hit the ground running by listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. For decades, anyone parking on the street in downtown Athens has had to pay using a solar-powered parking meter. But soon, that forest of poles lining downtown sidewalks will be gone in favor of a parking payment app. David Lynn, Director of Planning and Outreach for the Athens Downtown Development Authority, sat down with WUGA's Haviva Saltz to discuss the changes.
The app is active in parts of downtown right now, is that right?
It is true. We tried a pilot program with a different firm on their app. Unfortunately, that pilot program is why you do pilot programs. So it proves that application was not suitable for our needs. And so we're transitioning to the app that the university uses, and it's called Park Mobile.
How much longer will it be until all of the meters downtown switch over to the app?
We hope to have that complete by the time fall semester begins in August.
That's a fast transition.
It is. We've been working on it for about a year now after the results of our initial pilot program. And the company we're using this time is very experienced in this field. They've worked with local governments on this type of street metered parking. So it's going a lot faster.
Why was that decision made initially to switch everything to an app?
That's a good question, and I would have argued against it prior to COVID. But since COVID, the parking meter industry has left the building. We can no longer obtain parts, keep them maintained, and we don't have the labor that we used to. It's a fairly labor-intensive operation to maintain 800 parking meters that were powered by solar power. We've had to unfortunately transition to a parking app, which I think most people would appreciate more than sticking coins in a meter. It's definitely a generational thing. But when we discovered that 80% of our customers were using credit cards to pay small amounts in the parking meters, we interpreted that as our user base is getting much younger, and that's a demographic that would support the app, and it would increase customer service downtown. I can defend the need for parking rates downtown, the size or the amount of the rate, and the need for enforcement. I can't defend in any way a broken parking meter. That's just unacceptable.
Yeah, and it does seem like there's been a lot more of those.
We just can't keep up.
So when the switch is made over to an app, are all of those physical parking meters going to be just gone?
Park Mobile recommends that we operate both in tandem for a while to give people one last chance to use both as they get used to the idea of having a parking app to conduct their business. But eventually the meters will go away, the poles will have signage and information about how to use the app, and then eventually those will go away as well.
if you're going to Park Mobile, does that also have like a website option?
Yes. Or you, if you don't have a smartphone or you don't want to use the app, you can always call the number and pay for your parking that way.
Got it. Okay. So people,
and you can always park in the deck. Our structured facilities will take cash.
Well, that transition is happening a lot faster than I expected.
It's about time. We've, collectively stuck our heads in the sand about having to transition away from parking meters. I mean, meters have been the way that cities have regulated parking since the 30s. And up till COVID, I would describe it as a reliable and dependable mechanism for collecting parking fines, parking fees. But since that time, in conjunction with the industry not supplying parts anymore, we just had to been forced to make that transition.
So it's not just that, you know, your user base was getting younger and you sense that there was that need, and also that it's getting more expensive to upkeep things,
right.
But it's also that you literally can't get parts for the meters.
We literally can't get parts. We are cannibalizing meters that we don't use anymore for parts, and we're just running out of time.
Are there any maybe worries or concerns that you've heard from the community that you'd like to address about this move to an app?
Sure. We've gotten some criticism that moving to an app isolates a certain portion of the population that may be elderly and do not use a smartphone, or people that choose not to use a smartphone. We recognize that, but see this as a natural evolution of the industry. But we also offer, that first hour free in the deck and the ability to make a phone call and have your parking paid that way. So, yes, we have gotten criticism for that. We think that in the main that it's worth going to increase our customer service.
Well, David Lynn, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
David Lynn is the Director of Planning and Outreach for the Athens Downtown Development Authority. He says the meter changes should go into effect by the time UGA students return to school. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
I'm Tanya Mosley. There's so much news that it's hard to keep up, and many of those stories break in the middle of the day. Here and Now covers the news when you need it, so you're in the know.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Early this summer, Athens Parent Well-Being announced the closure of their baby and children's apparel and supply store, ReBlossom. But the nonprofit hasn't given up on its mission. Executive Director Manira Silk spoke with WUGA's Haviva Salt about what's on the horizon for Athens Parent Well-Being. Here's their conversation.
ReBlossom was a shop that became more of a community center. I was with my mom driving around town looking for items for my baby, and everywhere we went, everything was like not organized or just a different thrift landscape than it is now. And I was like, "Mom, what do you think about us opening a shop?" And she turned to me and she was like, "Sure." And so we just did it. Took some classes at the Small Business Development Center at UGA and learned how to do that, since I was an educator and a photojournalist before. So didn't have a business bone in my body, but we figured it out and had another partner join us, and had our babies and worked with our babies. And supported parents who also needed items but also needed advice or needed support. And so we kind of grew and grew. To start off, we were just a little resale shop above an existing parenting center, Full Bloom, and that's why we named ourselves ReBlossom. And then over the years, we moved locations and we added more support until we added all of our therapy scholarships, our peer support program, and about 15 different support groups through Athens Parent Wellbeing.
And why is the store closing now?
So lots of things, lots of reasons. Three main ones. The location that we were at became unsuitable for us to continue, whether that was noise or odors or leaks or things like that. And then our lease was up, so we had to make a decision about that. Couldn't find a wonderful place to go into that also could be more affordable, and wanting to reduce our overall expenses because we are a nonprofit. And so we decided to rent a little space in a shared office complex called Athens Kids Collective, which is filled with women who are providers of mental health or speech language pathology or tutoring, and basically bunk with them so that we could afford to have a space for our support groups, and then also start embedding our other groups and classes within the community. So rather than launching our Wednesday well-being walks at one location every week, we're going to move them all around town so we can visit different neighborhoods and hopefully get to know more people and serve a greater audience.
And so, like you said, Athens Parent Wellbeing is going through some changes now that ReBlossom is closing. Is there anything like new that you guys are trying to develop?
So we have moved our new parent support group, which is a weekly group, to Behold Birth, which is on Gainschool Road on the east side. So that has become a collaboration between Athens Parent Wellbeing and Behold Birth and Athens Born Birth Services. So we're collaborating more with existing organizations to support parents. We also have moved our Family Resource Center, which we called our Petite Boutique, which was within ReBlossom's doors, to bunking it also with Bright Paths organization, which is also in Barnett Shoals at Research Drive. And we're staffing some hours in the week to help support them so that we can continue to give free resources, clothing, equipment items, diapers through the Athens Area Diaper Bank, and also co-hosting a play date there on Thursdays from 10 to 12 at the same time. So we're kind of hoping to continue to create collaborations. I've spoken with Miss Rebecca at the library system and do some fun things so that we as Athens Parent Wellbeing can be more forward-facing and not limited by our space.
Is there any chance that ReBlossom could come back, either in its old form or as something new or different?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. We definitely know how to turn over clothing and items that people have for a short amount of time because their babies are growing so quickly. And we have a wonderful community, so I'm sure we will probably be hosting some sales in the future, whether that looks like yard sales or consignment sales or pop-ups or something like that. There are some developments on the horizon in Athens that might make a suitable future home for us. And so only time will tell, but we're excited about our transition time.
You've already talked about some of your plans in the short term for APW, but what's, you know, longer term, bigger picture, what's the plan going forward?
Our bigger picture is for us to continue to fundraise enough so that we can support as many parents as we're able to with their affordable, accessible mental health care. So we are able to match parents who may be very overwhelmed in the postpartum period or have multiple kids or just, you know, like the idea of accessing therapy and trying to figure out how to afford it is just too much. So that's really our main job in some ways, is to make sure that people can access it if they need it and want it. And then the group peer support that we do is really phenomenal. It's really special and unique, and parents really need other parents to lean on, to learn from, and to just not feel alone.
Manira Silk, thank you so much.
Manira Silk is the founder of Athens Parent Wellbeing, a local nonprofit supporting mental health for parents and caregivers. Athens Parent Wellbeing is an underwriter with WUGA. Georgia is one of America's firefly hotspots. We're home to more firefly species than any other state. And if you've noticed even more fireflies than usual this summer, you're not alone. To find out why our listening area has had so much glow recently, WUGA's Haviva Saltz sat down with Becky Griffin, community and school garden coordinator with the UGA Cooperative Extension and director of the Great Southeast Pollinator Census. Here's their conversation.
We have over 50 species of firefly, and a lot of times people will come in my office and say, where are they? I used to see them a lot as kids, but then I go out to their home and they have floodlights on all night, which messes up their mating, and they bag all their leaves, which means they're probably bagging up a few larvae of the fireflies. So our big project is working to help people understand about conservation and hopefully grow to love them and want to protect them.
I've heard a lot of people say that they're seeing more fireflies this summer than in previous years.
That I've heard the same thing, and I'm also seeing. I don't know for sure scientifically, but my guess is after that early drought, we've had a lot of wet weather, and it's been hot and humid, and that is the perfect climate for fireflies to show off. So that's my, if I'm guessing, that's what I'm guessing.
Right. So we don't have any data yet, but anecdotally, it definitely seems the case to you that there are more fireflies?
Yes. I'm seeing them in my yard, and I'm seeing them as I go visit places.
So, I mean, you mentioned a little bit about this, but can you tell me more about why there might be more fireflies this year than other years?
Well, I just think fireflies really like it when outside when we really don't. They like it when it's humid. They like the heat. All of the wet, moist area really helps their life cycle. And after an initial drought, we've really had that all across Georgia, or at least most of it, especially where I live. So I think that may be why we're seeing more fireflies.
Is it a good thing, do you think, to have more fireflies around in general?
Yes. We like fireflies because they're nostalgic and we get to see them fly. And that's actually the last part of their life cycle. The part of their life cycle when they're living amongst the leaf litter and among the twigs and the messy areas of our yard, that's when they're in the larval form. And that's when they really do a big service to our ecosystem. Those larvae are vicious hunters and predators of things like snails and slugs, things that really do bother our garden. So not only are they wonderful to see, but they actually do play an important role in our ecosystem.
How long do fireflies live? You said the firefly part is only part of their life cycle.
Depending on the species, 3 weeks.
Wow.
So not, it's a short window for us to get out there. Now, the firefly season is longer than that, because nature has equipped fireflies with different times and days for them to flash. And so early in the season, you may see one type of firefly like April, May, and then on into July and August, a different species is what you're seeing. There's different species that come out right at dusk, like the eastern firefly and the little gray firefly. They come out right at dusk. Some of our fireflies come out when it's really dark, like even maybe 1 a.m. you could see a different species. So they space it out over the summer and over the hours of the night. But generally, each species is about 3 weeks.
Is there any difference in appearance between species? Like, I mean, it might be a little hard to tell in the dark, but even just from their lights, is there any way to tell what species you're looking at?
The easiest way for those of us who just want to go out and enjoy the fireflies and learn to tell the difference is by their flash patterns. And Lynn Faust has written an amazing book. She is the firefly expert for the Southeast, and it's really written for the layperson. And it will show you the different temperatures and what flashes, and that kind of give you a general idea, point you in the right direction about what you're looking at. But if you have one in your hand, it's really hard to tell the difference. Those of us who've been looking at fireflies for many years might be able to tell a little bit of a difference, but they do, a lot of them look very similar.
Why is it that we only see fireflies in summer? Is it the heat?
Yes, they like that warm weather, and they're beetles. We call them fireflies or lightning bugs, but they're technically beetles, and they like that warm weather. So they're going to come out and come out of pupation and fly when it's nice and warm, just like a lot of our pollinators.
And obviously we're, you know, coming towards the end of the season now, but I've definitely still seen some fireflies around. Do you have any tips for people who want to catch fireflies before the summer's over?
Sure. First of all, you should always have your lights off at night. You know, you can do things like if you feel you must have lights on in your home, let's say you've gone out and you come home from an evening activity, make sure those lights are facing down. That's the number one thing. If you have lights on, you're just not going to see fireflies. Also, think about not raking up your leaf litter. If you really need to rake leaves, just kind of put them off to the side. Creating an area where there's sticks and leaves is really great for fireflies. And then if you've created that habitat and you want to see them, go outside at dusk and just sit and let your eyes get used to the dark. And then you'll start seeing those flashes. If you have a flashlight, I go on a lot of firefly hikes. I use a red flashlight to get me where I want to go and then turn the light off, and then you'll start seeing flashes. And if you're lucky enough to catch one in your hand, just look at it and enjoy it and be appreciative and feel lucky, and then just let it go.
What is your favorite thing about working with fireflies?
We're still learning more and more about them. And I truly, when I see a new species or it's the first firefly of the season, I truly feel honored. And I think we all should. People come from all over the world to Georgia to see fireflies, and we take them for granted. So we should feel honored when we get a chance to see that beautiful natural light show.
Becky Griffin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Becky Griffin works with the Lights Off, Fireflies On project. For more information on the project and fireflies in Georgia, visit fireflies.com. You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Haviva Saltz. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org, and will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening, and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.